Luke 19:1-10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost."
Please leave your Bibles open there at Luke chapter 19. Let's ask the Lord for his guidance now as we come to his word. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would open up your word to us this morning, that you would give us eyes to see Jesus, that we would see him in all his glory, that we would recognize and acknowledge our sin and our guilt and our inability to measure up to his glory in our own strength, so that we might glory in the mercy that is Christ Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Now, it seems a little bit strange, we're only a few days into the month, to be talking about jumpers. But a few weeks ago, one of my daughters lost her favourite jumper that she loves wearing to school, one of the black school jumpers. And as usually happens in our household, we didn't work this out until the kids were going out the door. And we cut it pretty fine, so there wasn't a lot of time to look for this jumper. So like any dad who is completely out of his depth at this point, I began to ask all of those questions. Did you put the jumper in the wash? Did you put it away properly? Have you checked your cupboard? But none of these questions found that jumper. So then I started interrogating her sisters. Have you got a jumper? Is it in your cupboard? But still no answer to where this jumper was. So then I began to search for this one black jumper in a sea of black jumpers. They all have black school jumpers, and they all look almost identical. The only difference I could tell was the size on the tag. So I went through cupboard by cupboard, looking at all of the different tags, trying to find this mysterious jumper that was missing. We looked everywhere we could think of to look. We couldn't think by this stage because we were in such a rush and we're out of time. We're out of options, and so she had to borrow one of her sister's jumpers, which didn't fit her all that well for the day. While we tried to figure out what had happened to this missing jumper. A few days went by and there was still no sign of this jumper. How could it have gone missing? What had happened to it? Until one day, Tamara decided, for some unknown reason, to check my cupboard for this jumper. Turns out somehow it had been put in with all of my jumpers, and I do have a lot of black jumpers myself. When we couldn't find that jumper that day, we did everything we could to try and find it because of what it meant to my daughter. We pulled things out of cupboards. We made a mess trying to find that jumper because finding it would have brought her joy. And when we did finally found it, it did bring her joy. The jumper that she had lost was now found. When something that we value goes missing or is lost, we search for it very diligently because of what it means to us. We look everywhere we can. We think hard about where we might have seen it last, and we usually ask others to look for it as well. And how hard we search, how much effort we are willing to go to, depends on how much that thing means to us and what value we have placed on that item. And that's what's going on in this morning's passage. A few weeks ago, as we looked at Jesus' account with the rich young ruler, we reflected on the question, how much do we value Jesus? But as we look at this morning's passage, Jesus is showing us how much he values the lost. Now, in the previous verses, Jesus had healed a blind man by the side of the road as he was heading into Jericho. As these verses begin, Jesus and the disciples and a large crowd are now in Jericho and heading through that city. And with such a large crowd of people and all of the commotion that would have been going on, well, everyone in Jericho would have been talking about who this person is, what he had come to do, and where he was going to go. It was all this commotion that no doubt got the attention of this man named Zacchaeus. Now, the name Zacchaeus in Hebrew, it's a Hebrew name, which means pure or innocent one. If that was all we knew about this man, well, it wouldn't be unusual for us to assume that he was a godly leader amongst the people of Israel, maybe a priest in the temple or something like that. But as we're introduced to Zacchaeus in these verses, we're told that he was the chief tax collector in that area and that he was wealthy. In those days, being a tax collector was considered to be as bad as being a traitor. Tax collectors worked for the Roman oppressors. They worked for their enemies. And they took taxes from God's people. And to add to that, they weren't like the Australian tax office. They weren't governed by a strict set of guidelines and rules that stopped them from doing this or that. In those days, they received a percentage of the taxes they took from the people. But the more taxes they took, well, the more they earned. The more taxes they extorted, in other words, the more money they made, the more they gained for themselves. And so as these verses begin, we're told that Zacchaeus was effectively a traitor to his own people, and he was an extortionist, but not just your average extortionist, the chief extortionist. And he was clearly very successful at extorting money out of people, of cheating them out of their money because he was wealthy. Knowing all this gives us quite a different picture of this man to what his name first suggests. Now, with the commotion of this incredibly large crowd as it moved through Jericho, Zacchaeus had become aware that Jesus was passing through that area. We don't know what Zacchaeus had heard about who Jesus is or what he had come to do. Maybe he'd heard that this man, Jesus, was compassionate towards tax collectors and sinners. Maybe he'd heard about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple. Or maybe he'd simply heard that this man Jesus was doing and saying amazing things. Regardless of what Zacchaeus knew about Jesus, we're told that Zacchaeus really wanted to see Jesus. But with this large crowd that was no doubt densely packed in, it would have been hard for just about anybody to get near Jesus, anyone to even get a glimpse of Jesus. But Zacchaeus, well, he had another problem. He was a very short man. At his height, There was no way that he was going to be able to see over the crowd. And because of his popularity or lack thereof, it's very unlikely that anybody was going to let him in or let him past. In fact, you can almost picture them taking pleasure in blocking Zacchaeus, in stopping him from being able to see. Because Zacchaeus suffered from this lack of elevation, he wasn't able to see Jesus any more than the blind man that Jesus had met on his way into Jericho. But just like that blind man, Zacchaeus didn't take no for an answer. Zacchaeus ran ahead as fast as his little legs could carry him and climbed up a sycamore fig tree. Why does it mention a sycamore fig tree? Because it has lots and lots and lots of strong branches. It's easy to climb, even for someone who's short. And he climbed this tree so that he could get a better view of Jesus. And much to his surprise, I imagine, when Jesus reached that tree and all of the crowd around Jesus, he looked up and he looked up at Zacchaeus. Don't imagine that Zacchaeus was the only person to have climbed up a tree that day. I don't imagine he was the first, only person to have been scuttled onto whatever they could to be able to see Jesus. But Jesus looked at Zacchaeus that day. And when he looked at Jesus, he looked at Zacchaeus, he said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And we need to see the incredible sense of urgency in these words. There's a strong sense of that Jesus wants Zacchaeus to get to him as fast as he can. He says, "Come down immediately." And then says, "I must stay in your house today." The word translated "must" in that sentence can also be translated "it is necessary." Or in other words, it was necessary that Jesus go to Zacchaeus's house. It was necessary to fulfill God's plan in seeking and saving the lost. This short, despised, and literally looked down on man was among those that Jesus had come to seek and to save. When Zacchaeus heard Jesus' words, well, he was glad. He would have rushed down that tree as fast as he can. The rest of the crowd, well, they had a very different reaction. All the people began to mutter. And they said, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." As easy as it would be for us to condemn the crowd for judging this man because of what they knew of him, rather than his heart, I think it's likely that we would have done the same. There were probably people in the crowd that Zacchaeus had cheated. They probably knew his character all too well. Can you imagine if Jesus came to our town or region, if he was heading through this area, and he spent all of his time with those our culture looks down on and ignores? Can you imagine if he went through our town without ever going through the doors of a church? I think we'd be tempted to say, "What's going on? Why isn't he spending all of his time with us?" While the crowd were busy condemning Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was finally starting to live up to his name. It says Zacchaeus stood up. And even though he wasn't a tall man, for the first time in his life, Zacchaeus was standing tall as he said these words, "Look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Back in chapter 18, when the rich young ruler had tried to have Jesus justify him. Jesus told this rich young ruler that he still lacked one more thing. He must sell everything he has and give it to the poor. But because the rich young ruler loved his possessions, his wealth more than Jesus, he went away sad. But here we see Zacchaeus is voluntarily giving away all of his wealth. He had now seen Jesus. He had come to know mercy through Christ Jesus. And all he wanted to do was honor his Savior. And so he publicly admitted his guilt. He recognized that he had cheated people in the past out of their money. And that by cheating those people out of their money, by taking more than he was supposed to take from the taxes, he had sinned against God. And he showed everyone how seeing Jesus had changed his heart. He vowed to give half of his wealth away to the poor straight away, half of it gone. And then with the rest, assuming that he figured out that was roughly what he had cheated people out of, he then vowed to repay anyone whom he had cheated. But not to just give them what he owed them, not to just give them what they deserved, but to pay them four times as much as they owed. As he owed them, sorry. In Leviticus chapter 6, God's law says that if anyone extorts from God's people, if anyone's caught cheating somebody out of their money, they are to give a fifth of the amount, a fifth more than the amount that they had taken. When Zacchaeus made this vow, he vowed to give four times what he had cheated people. The wealth that Zacchaeus had once cheated people out of, he had considered more important than relationships, more important than doing what was right, now meant nothing to him as he saw Jesus. Compared to the hope that he found in Christ Jesus, it just seemed so futile. When Zacchaeus had finished speaking, Jesus said these amazing words. Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Now what Jesus was saying is not just referring to the fact that Zacchaeus was a descendant of Abraham. But when he calls him a son of Abraham, he is saying that he, like Abraham, believed in God's promise, that he trusted, like his father Abraham, in God's promise that was fulfilled through Christ Jesus. Zacchaeus' life had been transformed. His sins had been forgiven. And his actions now showed that his heart had been changed. He was now living up to his name. He truly was now the pure one, but not because of anything that he had done. Not even giving away all of his wealth could do that. He was now pure, the pure one, because his sins had been forgiven. They'd been covered by the blood of Christ Jesus. He now knew a hope through Christ Jesus that was far greater than his wealth. It was more important to him, even than his position as the chief tax collector. And now all he wanted to do was honor Jesus. This lost man who wanted to see Jesus had found what he was looking for. And Jesus, the one who had come to seek and save the lost, had found his lost sheep. Can you imagine the size of that crowd must have been that day? All of the people hustling and bustling, pushing in against each other to try and see Jesus. Hundreds, if not, maybe even thousands. Of all of the people there that day, Zacchaeus must have seemed like the least likely person to have been the one who came to Jesus that day. He was written off by everyone in that crowd as a sinner. As I said, he's probably cheated many of them out of their money at one time or another. He was a short man, certainly not someone that people tended to look up to. And he would have seemed as far away from God as you could get. But as Zacchaeus tried to grab a glimpse of Jesus that day, the Holy Spirit was working in his heart. As he ran as fast as he could and climbed up that tree, Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus in faith. Faith that God's Spirit had given him before Jesus even cried out to him. Now, we don't know what Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus, but what we do know is that his faith in Jesus made him willing to look like a fool in front of everyone in order to see Jesus. Zacchaeus was an important official. He had men under his authority. Granted, he wasn't a very popular one, but he was a powerful man. He was a chief tax collector, and he was also a wealthy man. He would have had servants and other men like that. And yet he was willing to put all of that aside so that he might see Jesus. He would have looked ridiculous climbing up the tree that day. That's the kind of thing a small child does, not a grown adult, certainly not an official, certainly not a leader amongst the people of Israel. People were probably making fun of him for having to climb up this tree. But he ignored what people thought of him, because he wanted to see Jesus more than he cared about what anybody else might say. Zacchaeus was given eyes to see Jesus that day. He received the kingdom of God like a little child. Came to Jesus knowing that there was nothing that he was bringing to the table. Nothing that he could do to take away his guilt or even to hide it from Jesus. He came in faith, and he came ready to receive Jesus like a little child, knowing that his salvation depended solely on Jesus and on Jesus alone. And as we look at these verses, as we reflect on the message of these verses, we are being challenged to think and reflect on whether we are willing to stand tall like Zacchaeus. Not because we are tall in and of ourselves, but because of the mercy and forgiveness that we have received through Christ Jesus. This morning we've been shown how much Jesus values the lost. Jesus has given us his purpose, the purpose and plan for his mission. He's declared the reason for coming. This mission is not only his mission. This is a mission that he has handed down to us as those who were also once far off, once lost and alienated from God, and yet have been brought close to God through the blood of Christ Jesus. We've been called to share in this mission to seek and save the lost. A mission that calls us out of our comfort zone and into our community and causes us to depend more and more on Christ Jesus and on the Holy Spirit as we seek to reach out with the hope of the good news of the gospel, so that we can be a part of his mission. We're called to be a part of our community. We're called to join a club, to spend time with people who don't know Jesus. We can't just be in a holy huddle here amongst the body of Christ. We're called to do whatever we can at our stage of life and what our health allows so that we might be a witness for Jesus as we share in his mission to seek and save the lost. This morning we've been reminded of the value that Jesus places on those who don't yet know him. and his desire to bring people to himself. Be reminded that we too were once far off. We were just like Zacchaeus. Our sins may not have been as obvious as his or as well known by the people in the community, but before God, we were just as guilty. And yet because our Saviour came to seek and save the lost, he saved us, not because of anything we had done either, but because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. So as we reflect on these verses this morning, may we stand tall like Zacchaeus. May we acknowledge the guilt of our sin. May we find our joy in Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful story of how you brought Zacchaeus to yourself. Lord, so often we can feel so insignificant, so short, so humble, so broken ourselves. Lord, we know that we cannot measure up to your glory. And all we can see sometimes, Lord, is our sins right before us. Lord, we thank you that this story reminds us of your love for the lost, of your love for us. Lord, convict our hearts. Challenge us to take up the mission that you have given us. Help us to be salt and light, to be transparently yours everywhere we are, so that we might shine the light of Christ wherever we go and share in your mission to seek and save the lost. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.